Bob back here tonight. You can feel that. Sharon had her procedure on the fifth day, so she's doing well and right now.
Your only son knows sin to hide, but you have sinned from your side to walk upon this guilty spot and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucify, they laugh and scorn him as he died.
Let's pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, thankful for the day that you have blessed us with, for everything you've given us in this life, Father, for the opportunity to gather together with those of like precious faith, Father, to study your word, to sing songs of praise to your name, and to hear another message brought from your word. All this made possible, Father, by your Son and his sacrifice on that cross. Your plan of salvation fully revealed to us through your word and the good news that we have that we can spread to others around us. Heavenly Father, we ask that if there's sin between us and you, Father, we ask that you would forgive us of those things, that you would help us to recognize those errors in our life and help us to be strong, to strengthen ourselves, to turn from those things, Father, to make the choice to follow after you, to truly show our love for you, Father, through obedience to your word. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that are sick, those that we've mentioned this evening. Father, I pray especially for Ezra Hunt, that you would be with him and his family. Pray that you would guide the doctors that are ministering to him, Father, at this time. Father, we pray for those that have been traveling, those that will be traveling. Father, we pray for their safety in those travels. We're mindful, Father, of those that serve in our country's military, especially those, Father, that are overseas, away from their families. We do pray, Father, for their swift and their safe return. We pray, Father, for the congregation here, for the leadership, the elders here. Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom in your word, that they could lead this group, Father, in the way that's pleasing before you. Father, we are thankful for the country that we live in. We're thankful, Father, for the freedoms that we have. We know this is not experienced all over the world, Father, and help us to not take these freedoms for granted, but that we would trust in you, Father, in your ways, and that we would be obedient to you, Father. And for those that are worshiping you in those difficult situations, in those difficult places, we pray for their encouragement. We pray for their safety, Father. We pray that you would help us to be able to reach out and give them that encouragement as well. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be the one that will bring us the message this evening. We pray that you give him remembrance of those things that he's prepared, and that we will take those truths, Father, and we will apply them to our lives. Father, we pray that as we end this evening as well, that you would be with us and continue to help us, Father, through this life, to guide us in the ways that are on the narrow path, Father, that leads to salvation. We pray all these things, Father, through your Son's precious name. Amen.
This evening, I've got a question that you've probably heard before, and hopefully to help you try and answer this evening. So, what is the value of a human life? Many views can be considered in this. A lot of times it's considered either economically or socially, or perhaps based on physical or mental aptitude. In all these ways, though, it can be subjective, based on who you ask and who's answering. And a lot of people, I think, would say that a life is priceless. It's not calculable to think. It can't be calculated by physical things, which I would agree with. Because the physical is only part of the picture when we're thinking about a life. Like, we are spiritual beings as well, which is why we can't be calculated with solely physical things. So then, what is the spiritual value is the other question. While I perhaps can't directly answer that, I can tell you what Jesus and what God's answer was. Jesus demonstrated that we are each worth his death on the cross and the shedding of his perfect blood. God answered that we are worthy of worth his only begotten Son to walk on earth and to suffer on the cross so that we can be bought with the value of that sacrifice. If you would turn with me to Acts 20, Acts chapter 20. We'll read this excerpt here first. This is Paul as he's talking to the Ephesian elders for the last time, and he makes mention of Jesus' sacrifice. So we'll read Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 36. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. So as Paul is talking to these Ephesian elders there, as in verse 28, it's made mention, God purchased the church of God with his own blood, with Jesus. God finds our worth enough that his son's life could pay for us for our sins. In this context, Jesus' blood is most often to refer to as redeeming us. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that our faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." God does not value each man's physical work, because that can't redeem a spiritual soul. It's not what we're valued by. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish, that is the measure that we can be redeemed by. Not redeemed by corruptible things, as Peter mentions, physical things of this world. They cannot add up to the value of a spiritual life. So a spiritual price had to be paid. By the word of God being valued and redeemed to be incorruptible, to not value ourselves by anything physical, because we are not totally or even essentially physical beings. The soul, the spirit, is what matters. As Peter repeated and as Isaiah wrote, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Flesh and glory of man withers and provides no redemption. Our value is accounted by God and enduring forever. Finally, if you turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'll start reading in verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Here we see why we are bought, for redeemed for purity towards God, towards good, and to show that while we are still in the flesh for a time, to show the righteousness reflective of God. As in verse 11, by God's grace we are bought for salvation. We receive him in accepting that price that was paid. A price that I don't think any of us would consider a quote-unquote good deal. Considering the cost for a man to be redeemed by the Son of God. There's a reason other religions, as we kind of made mention in the class too, there's a reason other religions don't that are not related to Christianity, like Hinduism and Buddhism, find it strange that our Lord died. It's not a positive message, as we brought up, because by all means, we should not be worthy of the price that he paid as well. But nevertheless, the price was paid, and it was paid enough for any man who wishes to be redeemed by it. It was paid because he loved us and because he considered it worth enough to have it done. So then, what is the value of a spiritual life? Evidently, the value is the death of the Son of God, which has already been paid. With sin, we accrue a debt, a negative balance that we can make no payments on. But Jesus paid it all for me and for you, a price paid so much for the rest of eternity if we believe and accept it. And if you've forsaken that redemption this evening and need help from the brethren here, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.
Bow with me, please. Our great God, who art in heaven, you have been gracious to afford us this time together tonight to worship you in the spirit and in truth with those of like precious faith, to spend time together studying your word and seeking the truth of your word as revealed by the Apostle Paul. We thank you, Father, for the promising messages of hope and resistance against evil, and how we know the gospel and therefore can choose what is right and good without deterring influences from others around us. We pray, Father, that we will remain strong in the faith, that you will give us good answers, give us peace, give us protection from the ills of false teaching that are around us from time to time. Help us, Father, to be a catalyst for those who are engulfed in false teaching to come out of that. Let our leaven be a positive leaven and grow out into the world as we preach the gospel. But may we always partake here of the unleavened bread of truth and righteousness and not be corrupted by anything else. Father, we pray for those who have been mentioned who are sick. We thank you, Father, for the provisions you've made for those we've prayed for and brought them back to us. But we also are mindful that there are others who need continual help. We pray that you'd be with Beth as she's out tonight, Sister Gott as she's recovering. We thank you for Brother Bob being back and pray that he might fully recover from the surgery he's had. We pray, Father, that you would be with the families who have lost loved ones, like Brother Christie, who was mentioned. We pray that those influencers will be remembered for good, and that some will consider the life that they're leading and recognize that people like Brother Christie die with hope, and that we look forward to being with you in heaven. We thank you for the message, Father, that encourages us to remember that though we are worthless as creatures of sin, that you have made us and bought us with the greatest price that you had, giving us your glory, sharing your value with us, and that in you and in Christ Jesus, we are of utmost importance, and our soul is a precious thing to be considered and remembered as we seek to serve you from day to day. Father, please forgive us for our sins. Help us to remain pure and righteous, to overcome the stumbling blocks of this life and seek to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to be righteous and godly before you, that so that you are pleased with us and can use us as spiritual tools in this life until you bring us home to live with you forever and ever. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.